Here's what I need you to do. Whatever platform you listen to this show on, go leave a rating and review of the show. Right now, leave a 5-star rating and review the show. Tell people what you think about it. Tell people the value you're getting. You take care of that business. I'm going to get into this episode, and I'll meet you in the middle. Let's do it.
Stayolday.com.
Work on your game.
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 Approaching the game aggressively, with that aggression, with that confidence to dominate a game.
Dre Baldwin, DreAllDay.com.
Work on your game.
Wouldn't it be great to be so personally driven that you inspired other people to action, even when you weren't that motivated on your own? You can do so by reading my book, The Mirror of Motivation. I've already purchased a bunch of copies that I'm going to give away for free to you, shipping them worldwide. All I need you to do is go to workonmygame.com/motivation and tell me where to ship the book. Again, that's my book, The Mirror of Motivation, The Self-Guide to Self-Discipline. I am shipping free physical copies worldwide. I paid for the book already. You take care of the shipping. Tell me where to ship it. Go to workonmygame.com/motivation. Tell us where to send your book, and I'm sending you one now. Available while supplies last. That's workonmygame.com/motivation. Turn the volume up on your device because you are tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve is yet to be achieved. And on top of this, yes, there is more. You get a huge dose of personal initiative. This is that go-getter energy that moves you to make things happen instead of waiting for things to happen. Putting all this together, you get the mindset, the method, the podcast known as Work On Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day. Welcome to the show. Today's topic is, what if my price is too high? Now, we've talked about price, we talked about sales, we talked about money and business from many angles on this podcast, though it is not specifically the main focus of the show. I mean, business is the main focus of life because life itself is a business. I mean, the device you're listening to this on costs you money, the bed you slept in last night, the electricity that you're using, the data plan or Wi-Fi that allows you to stream this from the satellite beams out in outer space, all of those things cost money. So price does matter in life, no matter what it is that you do. But someone asked me, I was doing an Instagram live stream in late May, early June of 2019. And somebody asked me, well, Dre, what if you have a price that's kind of high and it's kind of like, you know, off-putting to some of your prospects or your customers or your audience? You put a product out and they're fans of you. You got some fans here, some audience people waiting for you to put something out. Then you put it out and the price is so high that people are like mad at you. They're annoyed with you, or they think like, damn, who do you think you are charging this much money? If you put people off, piss people off, offend people, I don't know, lose some audience members or something because the price of something that you put out is a little bit too high for that person's liking, wouldn't that be off-putting to some people? Wouldn't that piss some people off, Dre, if you did that? Yes. Yes, that would piss some people off. I've put products out and charged, quote unquote, too much for my products, too much for my services, too much for, I don't know what else I got, product services. I think that's pretty much it. Yes, it will piss some people off. Yes, some people will be offended. Yes, some people will have a problem with it. Yes, some people will look at it, see the price and say, damn, I can't buy that. Damn, I would never buy that. Damn, I won't buy that. And some of those people will even come and let you know that the price is a little bit too high, that they wish you would offer a discount or put it on sale or bring the price down a little bit. In the episode that I did a few weeks ago on discounts, I told you about this. I had people who will reach out to me and ask me, you got a discount code, or I could get somebody to buy it if you would lower the price, or if you would do this and this, then I will buy your product. Like, they're trying to entice me into doing something for them so that they can afford the product. I want you to understand, well, what I'm going to tell you today is everything you need to understand about this whole idea of your prices being too high, because I've done episodes on your price being too low. I've done an episode on raising your price, and it may take a little bit more work on some of you to emotionally get you to come around. Logically, I pretty much laid it out. It'll take me only 10 minutes to lay out logically why you need to raise your price, but it's not a logical thing for most people who are pricing themselves too low. It's not a logical challenge. It's an emotional challenge. So yes, it will put people off when your price is too high. Okay, so I'm not telling you that it wouldn't. I'm not trying to rationalize it. I'm not giving you a meditative exercise to make it okay. No, it will put people off. But as with all things money related, being that it's more emotional than logic, let's explore why it doesn't even matter if some people are pissed off, annoyed, they cancel you, they unsubscribe from you, they unfollow you, they get mad, they send you angry emails because the price of your product is too high for their liking, even though they want it, it's a little bit too high for them. And I've had all these things happen to me. What do you do about it? How do you reconcile this? How do you keep moving? How do you keep going, you know, despite this tragedy of somebody being pissed off because your price is too high? Point number one, today's topic again is, what if my price is too high? Let me ask a question. Has any of you ever seen somebody driving a smart car? Y'all know what a smart car is, right? It's those little tiny cars. There's only two seats. It doesn't even look like a, well, I guess now it does. But when it first came out, I was like, is that really a real car? Does it actually have an engine in it? It actually moves when you press the gas pedal. It actually works and drives around. Y'all know what a smart car. Everybody knows a smart car. If you don't, Google it. So I went and Googled smart cars, and I found out that a smart car can be purchased starting at around $12,000. So for $12,000, you can get yourself a smart car. Now, you probably get a pretty convenient payment plan for that. And I'm sure you've seen people riding around, no matter where you live, in a smart car. Here in Miami, even it was about maybe 10 years ago, there was some company, I forget the name of the company, where you could actually use an app and you could rent a smart car and just start driving it right on the spot. You would use the app to unlock the car and start the door and start unlock. Unlock the door and start the car. Getting ahead of myself and drive it around. Then when you were done, you would use the app to, you know, log out, lock the car door, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody's seen a smart car. No matter where you live, it exists. Now, on the other hand, has any of you ever seen someone driving a Ferrari? I think everybody's seen it. Maybe you don't see too many of them in your neighborhood or where you live or wherever you are on a normal basis, but they exist. You know that they exist. Maybe you've seen them on Instagram or you've seen them on Google. If you've never seen a Ferrari, go Google it right now so you know what I'm talking about. And you can also Google the price. Now, Ferraris are a normal sighting in Miami. I see people driving around in them all the time. It's not really, I don't consider my kind of cars a little bit too low to the ground. I like cars a little bit higher up, and it's a little bit too, it's too small. Not my type of thing. I'm not into sports cars or racing type of cars, but it is a normal thing. A lot of people are impressed by the very sight of Ferraris. I see a Ferrari parked on the sidewalk and people will walk by, see the car, and actually have their friend take a picture of them standing next to this car that's not theirs. They don't even know whose it is, but just to stand next to the car. So people really love these cars. I'm not an automobile type of guy, but for people who are, it's a big deal to see a Ferrari. Now, went and Googled the Ferrari. You can get one for around $250,000. There are some that cost less, but let's just say $250,000. All right, now, those are facts, what I just told you. $250,000 for a Ferrari, that's, at least one of them costs that much. Smart car, $12,000. Here's the simple point that I'm giving you by bringing both of these vehicles up. There are buyers for both of these cars. Since, as you already confirmed, you have seen people driving smart cars, that mean they bought them. Or they lease them. I don't know. Can you lease a smart car? And you've seen people driving Ferraris. So that means they bought them. Or at least some of the people you've seen bought the car. They paid the $250,000 or they paid the $12,000. All right. There's a market for both of these cars. And there's a market for everyone in between. The Nissan drivers, the Lexus drivers, the Mercedes-Benz drivers. What else we got? Volvo, Hyundai, Honda, Volkswagen. I don't even know the rest of them. But there's a market for both of the, on both extremes of the pricing market, $12,000. You could even go down to Uber, $15 to get a ride to the grocery store. There's a market for that. Any of you ever seen somebody riding in an Uber or a Lyft? You ever seen someone on public transportation, on the bus or on the train or walking or riding a bike? You've seen somebody with a, or at least heard of, if you haven't seen someone with a private plane who owns their own plane, they have a pilot and the pilot flies them around as necessary. Anyone who flies first class, business class all the time internationally, someone who has a Ferrari, there's a wide scope. There are people who it costs them $150,000 every time they travel, and there are people who it costs them $8 every time they travel. The point is, there is a market for both ends, and there's a market for everything that exists in between. Everybody understand that? Good. Point number two. Keep that in mind as we move on. Point number two, today's topic once again is, what if my price is too high? I want you to understand, knowing what I just told you on point number one, understanding what I just told you, thinking about it because you already knew it, understand something else. Price is a story. Price is not a hard, solid, you can or you can't. Price is not logical. Price is a story. So those of you who are salespeople, and every one of us is a salesperson. If you have ever been to a job interview, you're a salesperson because you sold yourself to get hired or not get hired. And then you had to sell them on how much they needed to pay you for you to take the job. That's sales. If you work in a volunteer organization that runs off of donations, you're a salesperson because you had to sell somebody on donating whatever they got to donate to you for that business to continue to run, for that organization to continue to run. That's sales. If you're an entrepreneur or a freelancer, you know specifically directly that you're in sales, but we're all in sales. I'm telling you that to tell you this. Price is a story. Price is not logic. Again, those of you who are in sales and you're wondering, well, how do I justify? I had an entrepreneur ask me this. Dre, how do I justify raising my price? This is after I told her, yo, you need to raise your prices. You're not charging enough money. She said, well, how do I justify it? And I said, why you got to justify it? Just do it. I mean, of course, that's the way that I think. But I'm telling you here, this is why. Because price is a story. Price is not logic. You don't need to justify why. Nobody walks into the Ferrari dealership and says, hey, Mr. Ferrari salesperson, can you justify to me why this car costs $250,000? No, they're going to call security and kick your ass out the showroom. They don't have to justify it to you. You're not the person they're trying to sell to anyway. You know who they want to sell to? The person who walks in and says, give me that one in red, and I want it right now. I want to drive off the lot with it in the next 30 minutes. You got enough money, they'll make it happen. Price is the story that the salesperson tells themselves and tells their customers about their products and services, matching with the story that the buyer tells themselves about the things that they purchase and why they purchase them. How much people spend money on things, well, what people spend money on and how much they decide to spend money on those things is 100% based on the story that person has told themselves about those goods. For example, excuse me. I used to shop for my groceries, my produce specifically, at this grocery store called Publix, which is a South Florida staple. I think it's based somewhere in South Florida. So there's a whole bunch of these Publix grocery stores, and wherever you live, whatever local grocery store you have, I used to get my produce from there. But then someone put me onto the idea of getting organic produce, and they told me, yo, you could get it from Whole Foods. It's just better quality than what they got at Publix. And I said, well, my idea of Whole Foods, the story that I had in my mind about Whole Foods up to that point was that Whole Foods cost too much money. Everything costs more. It costs way too much. It wasn't worth it to spend all that extra money, so to speak, on groceries when I could get it for cheaper at Publix. And the person finally got me to at least try it. They said, just try some Whole Foods produce. See how it tastes. Is your body, Dre, you're an athlete. I mean, if you're going to invest in anything, invest in your body. Why would you not invest in your? And that right there, that logical argument pushed me over the top that made me say, all right, let me go to Whole Foods and try this out. I'll spend the extra money, see how it is. So I started eating produce from Whole Foods. Like, I'm talking like apples, spinach. Those of you who follow me on Instagram, you know, I like the spinach every morning. Apple, spinach, bananas, things like that. And then I would taste the produce. After tasting the produce from Whole Foods, I would go taste the same produce from Publix. Even the organic stuff, it didn't taste the same. It wasn't the same quality. It should start tasting like plastic to me. Conventional produce tasted very nasty to me after I started experiencing the organic produce. Now, to this day, I never, ever buy produce from Publix. I always get it from Whole Foods. Even when I'm traveling, I will Google and find Whole Foods. And I might even, sometimes I'll get to the airport and I will have the Uber driver stop at Whole Foods first, pick up my groceries, then I'll go to the hotel. I do that all the time. Why the change? And this is not an advertisement for Whole Foods, but why the change? The change is the story in my mind changed. The story in my mind used to be, this is not worth the extra money. The story changed to, after someone used a little bit of logic to help change my thinking, they said, yo, you're an athlete. Why would you not invest in your body? And I said, you know what? That makes sense. The story in my mind changed because I had an experience that made it different. Someone pointed something out to me that was that made perfect sense based on what I was doing for a living. I tried it out with that experience. I said, you know what? I need to tell myself a new story. Nowadays, I buy everything from Whole Foods, nothing from Publix. That's the story to change. Now, what is it? Let's go back to our car example and let's take it here. The smart car salesperson markets smart cars to who? To people who are telling themselves a story about saving money on automobile expenses and driving the cheapest car possible because that's the story that that person tells. The smart car salesperson puts that marketing out in the world, and who are they targeting? They're not targeting the Nissan driver. They're not targeting the Mercedes-Benz buyer. They're not targeting the BMW driver. They're not targeting the Ferrari people. They're targeting people who think the same way that this marketing message is communicating, that this is the cheapest car, is the simplest car, takes up a very small amount of space, has a small carbon footprint. It doesn't cost you a whole lot of money. This is the simplest car you can have if you even want to have a car. And the people who respond to that advertising, people who respond to that message are who? The people who are thinking the exact same way. So the smart car salesperson, all they want to, the only people they want to talk to are the people who are telling the same story that they're telling. And it works. That's why you see people driving smart cars. Because if it wasn't working, you would never see a smart car on the road, and I wouldn't be using it as an example. Now, what does the Ferrari salesperson do? The Ferrari salesperson is looking for the buyer who has a story that says, what? I got enough money in my automobile budget that I could buy 20 smart cars. But you know what? Instead of that, I just want this one Ferrari. And it works. That's why you see people driving around in Ferraris, because they have a story that says, I want this car that's going to draw attention, that when people see it parked outside of Starbucks, they want to take pictures standing next to it, don't even know whose car it is, because it's just so impressive. It's like a monument. It's like driving around in a national monument. People see it and they stop, they take pictures, they video it, they Instagram it, don't even know who's driving it, don't even know where it came from or anything about it. They just, seeing that car gets people excited. There's someone who tells the story in their mind that I want that to be me driving that car. I want to drive the car that makes people feel that way, that makes me feel that way, that I could drive it in 85 miles per hour in 6 seconds, even though you never get a chance to go that fast in many places. I want that car. That's the story that I'm telling myself. That's the person that Ferrari's trying to find. Ferrari's not looking for the smart car buyer or the Benz buyer or the Range Rover buyer. They're looking for the Ferrari buyer who wants to spend 20 smart cars worth of money on one Ferrari. They're looking for the person who's telling that story. This whole point, we're still on point number two here. Price is a story, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to change your prices, or you want to, quote, justify, unquote, your prices, all you had to do is change the story that you're telling. And when your story matches somebody else's story, they buy from you. So what you have to get in alignment is three things. Number one, your story. Number two, the price that matches that story. And number three, the person who's telling the same story who agrees with that price. When those three things align, now you make a sale. And until those three things align, you make no sales. Point number three. Today's topic is, what if my price is too high? When you sell, and that could be for hire, getting hired for a job, moving products as an entrepreneur, selling services as a consultant, trainer, or coach, you are beaming a signal out to the people who are telling themselves the same story that you're telling yourself. So your job is to get close to the right people who have the matching story. Until you do that, you're not going to make any sales. So see, this is where many things could go awry for the salesperson, whether that's a person job hunting or the person who's an entrepreneur selling products. Maybe you are marketing the right product to the wrong people. Maybe you're marketing the right product to the right people, but is at the wrong price. Either that price is too low, so they're looking at it, the perceived value is too low. Listen, if the Ferrari dealership, if I open a Ferrari dealership and start selling each car for $12,000, I probably wouldn't sell too many Ferraris, even though it's only $12,000. You know why? Actually, you know what? I would sell those. You know who I would sell them to? A whole bunch of smart car buyers would come into the Ferrari dealership. Now I got a whole different clientele, because the smart car buyers are like, oh, I can spend $12,000 to get a Ferrari. I'll take the Ferrari just to see what it's like. But all the Ferrari buyers that I used to sell to, they would stop buying from me. I would lose all those customers. Why? Because the Ferrari buyer is not looking to save money. The Ferrari buyer is not trying to be cheap. The Ferrari buyer is not trying to be economical. Those words are not in their vocabulary. The Ferrari buyer wants to spend $250,000 on a car. You know why? Because he wants to tell the story in his mind that I spent $250,000 on a car. You know, also want to know why? Because everybody knows that a Ferrari costs $250,000. So that Ferrari buyer knows, when I drive down the street in my car, my $250,000 car, I know that everybody who sees me knows that I spent $250,000 on that car. That's the story that the Ferrari buyer is telling himself. And he wants everybody else to know that that's the story. He knows that they know. And that matters. And that doesn't make him right or wrong. It just means that's the story that he's telling. So me as the Ferrari salesperson, I'm looking for the person who wants to tell that story. I'm not looking for the person who's trying to be cheap, economical, and have a small carbon footprint. That's for the smart car person to sell to. And the smart car person is not looking for the guy who wants to have the flashy car that turns heads everywhere he goes, because the smart car ain't going to do that. So you need to know, what is the story that you're telling with your product or service and with your price? And then you need to get that story out in front of the people who match the story. This is work. And in the game group, you learn that work. You learn the discipline behind that work, the strategy behind that work. If your prices are not matching up to your customers, meaning you have a bunch of products to sell, but people aren't buying, or you have a bunch of people, but nobody's buying products, or a combination of both, your prices are too low, maybe for your audience, your prices are too high, maybe for your audience, you feel uncomfortable with lowering your price or with raising your price, then there's something wrong. There's something missing in the disciplines, and there's something missing in the strategy. There's something about the story that needs to change. In the game group, we help you out with that. Your job is to get as close to the right people who have the matching story as possible. And until you do, you're going to have trouble making sales. Point number four. Today's topic is, what if my price is too high? So going back to the original question that I was asked on my Instagram live stream, the person said, Dre, what about people who are put off or annoyed or, you know, angry or whatever, disappointed by the fact that your price is out of that person's price range? What about that? Back in the, actually, I don't know if this show still runs, but I know it did back in the 90s and 2000s. It was called the Maury Povich Show. Y'all remember the Maury Show? M-A-U-R-Y, Maury. Now, Maury Povich, he started off, I remember when he came out, it was like a, it was just a talk show. It was like Oprah had a talk show. You had a, it was a woman named Ricky Lake. She had a talk show. You had Joan Rivers. You had Donahue, Montel Williams. All these people had talk shows. And Maury Povich, what was the other guy? Jerry Springer. Remember the Jerry Springer Show? And anyway, Maury Povich had a talk show. It was a normal talk show. And Maury stumbled into a niche that really made his show, I guess, famous or infamous. This is the niche that he stumbled into. There would be a woman who had gotten pregnant and had a child, which is fine. I mean, a lot of women get pregnant and have children all the time. The woman had the child out of wedlock. She wasn't married. That happens all the time, too. She wasn't with the guy who had fathered her child. Sometimes she was, or sometimes she wasn't. But there was a challenge in even that. Here was the challenge. The woman had had a baby. She didn't know who the father of her child was. She had no idea who the father was, but she wanted to find out. So she would go on the Maury Povich Show. They would have her sitting out there talking to Maury. And of course, you got the audience. Then they show the baby, who is usually most of the time backstage somewhere. Here's 2-year-old Justin. And the audience is, oh, and they would have the men. Then there would usually be 2 men, maybe sometimes even 3 men, who this woman, the mother of the child, she had had sex with these men around the time frame that would match the birth of the child. Therefore, both of these men, or all 3 of these men, were eligible fathers of that kid. The problem often was, and this is the drama of television, and who knows if they played this up for TV or what, and how the hell they got people to agree to come on the show for this stuff, I have no idea. But again, it just shows you how wide the range of the market is for people. All right? There's so many different people out there in the world. Whatever you're selling, there's somebody who will buy it. But anyway, Maury would get all these people to come on the show, national television, to have this debate, often is what it was, this conflict about who's the father of this child. So the woman would come on there and she would say her piece, who she thought the father of the child was. Maybe it's this guy, maybe it's him, maybe it's him. Sometimes she was with a guy. He was her boyfriend or whatever the situation, or husband. And he would say, I really hope this is my child, because I've been taking care of this child anyway for the last 2 years. So I hope it's mine. But then there would be this other guy, and this guy who would get portrayed as kind of like the deadbeat. He hated the girl. He was angry with the fact that she even accused him of this. He'd say, well, she's a hoe. She's loose. She's always having sex with all these different dudes. I know it's not my kid. And of course, this is all played up for TV. But anyway, this is how it would work. Finally, after all the talking was done, Maury would finally come to the moment of truth. And this would always be after the commercial break, right? To get you to keep watching. Maury be sitting on stage and he had these envelopes, these manila envelopes that have the results of the paternity test. It is the thing that everybody's waiting for with bated breath. Maury would open the envelope. He would say, and there would be a man on stage sitting there with the woman. And sometimes this man wanted to be the father, and sometimes he really did not want to be the father. But Mari would open the envelope and say, Mike, in the case of 2-year-old Justin, you are not the father. And the crowd would go crazy. Most of the time they would boo. They would boo the man. The man sometimes would jump up out of his seat and talk shit to the girl. He would dance around, run out backstage. He would just be just ecstatic about the fact that he was not the father of this child, because he was sure he wasn't the father before. Now it got verified. And then he just leaves the girl. He don't want nothing to do with her. Sometimes the woman would be devastated, like, oh my God, he's not the father. And then other times when the man was wanting to be the father and it turns out that he wasn't the father, he'd be devastated. They both be crying and it would be a really sad, tragic situation. Again, who knows if these people were acting, this was played up for TV, whatever. Then there'd be times Mari said, you are the father. And this would sometimes be the man wanted to be the father, they'd be happy. And if it was a man who didn't want to be the father, but Mari said, you are the father, the girl would jump up out of her chair and she would start talking shit to the dude. Like, yeah, I told you was the father of this child. You better start paying child support. Now what? This, that, and the third. Any of you who remember watching the Mari Povich show, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube. I'm sure there are plenty of funny. I'm sure there's a compilation out there of really funny who's the father, who's not the father clips from the Mari show available on the internet. I'm sure there are plenty. Maybe I'll go look some up myself. But anyway, I'm telling you all, I'm painting you this story of the Mari show to tell you this. When you look at a product or a service and you're interested in it, you're like, you know what? I actually want that product. I actually want that service. I want that Ferrari, or I want that smart car, or I want to hire this coach. I want to hire this trainer. I want to buy this online course. And you look at these things and you're interested, and then you click that button that says buy now, get started, inquire about price, whatever it is, whatever you got to do to get the actual number of how much it costs. And you see that number and you're put off by the number, meaning it's a little bit too low, is lower than you thought it would, which makes you question the value of the product, or the price is a little bit too high, it's way higher than you are comfortable paying. You're like, damn, why they got to charge so much? Because you actually want it, but you can't afford it. If you feel that way when you look at the price of any product or service that you're interested in, angry, pissed off, sad, disappointed, I wish it was lower, I wish it would cost a little bit more, whatever, understand something. You are not the father. All right. You are not the person that they're trying to sell to. If an online course costs $500, and you wish it cost $60 because you're used to buying programs off Udemy for $12. You are not the father. If you want to hire a basketball trainer, you want a trainer that charges $25 an hour, but the trainer tells you they charge $250 an hour and you got to buy a minimum of 20 sessions up front. You are not the father. Whatever product or service, you are put off by the price. You are surprised by the price. You think the price is a little bit too high. You wish there was a discount code laying around that you could have access to. You are not the father. They are not marketing to you. They're telling a slightly different story from the story that you're telling. Now, here are your options. Option one, you can go find someone else with a different product or service, hopefully similar, but different product or service, who's telling a story that's similar to yours that matches your price. Or, I mean, you could always go earn more money and then you could tell a different type of story. But one thing that you can't do, actually you can do it, is stay in the same story that you're in, complaining about the fact that the price is a little bit higher than you're comfortable with, yet not doing anything to change that situation, because that price might not come down for you. And anyone who listens to this podcast, they're not lowering their price for a customer who can't afford the product. I'd rather, if I look at a product that I want but I can't afford, I'd rather go make more money than the price come down. I mean, why would I lower the tide of the ocean just to make sure I don't drown? Why not just get better at swimming? At treading water, I guess it would be. But again, that's just me. But this is just my podcast. So let's recap today's topic. What if my price is too high? Any of you salespeople out there, you feel like your price might be so high that some people will be pissed off, put off, they'll leave your audience, etc. Or you've looked at a price and you think the price is too high. Listen, I'm talking to you too here today. Someone on Instagram in my live stream asked me, wouldn't that be off-putting to some prospects? The answer is hell yeah, it's going to be off-putting. It should be off-putting. Ferrari dealers ain't trying to sell the smart car buyer. A Ferrari salesperson does not want to spend 30 minutes showing the cars to a smart car buyer. If you got a smart car budget, I want you to understand before you walk in the doors of my showroom that I don't have anything for you in here, so that you never come in the first place. All right. Your audience, salespeople out there, your target market is not everybody. Your target market are the people who are looking to tell the same story that you're telling and spend the money that you're demanding. Not the people who got to think about it. Not the people who are challenged by it. Not the people who are pissed off or put off by it. They are not your audience. Stop talking to them. You are wasting your resources. Point number one, have you ever seen somebody driving a smart car? Of course you have. They cost $12,000. Yep. And you ever seen somebody driving a Ferrari? Of course you have. They cost $250,000. What's the point? They're buyers for both. People have bought Ferraris before. Somebody bought one today. People buy smart cars. Somebody bought one today. And for everything in between, Mercedes, Lexus, Nissan, they are buyers for everything, people. Point number two, price is a story. What people spend money on and how much they spend on those things is 100% not based on logic. We do not make decisions based on logic, even though we explain things with logic. That's not how we make decisions. It is all based on the story that people have told themselves about those goods or services. People who shop at Whole Foods have told themselves that Whole Foods is worth the extra money. People who buy their groceries from Walmart have told themselves that it's not worth it to spend that extra money at Whole Foods. And the people at Whole Foods say, I would never buy my groceries from fucking Walmart. And that's the story that they told themselves. Neither one of them is right. Neither one of them is wrong. It's just a story that they told. And Whole Foods and Walmart both do plenty of business. So you do not need to be in any specific place. It's all a matter of the story that you choose to tell. The Ferrari salesperson is looking for the person who says, I got enough money to buy 20 smart cars, but instead of having a fleet of 20 smart cars in my driveway, I'd rather have one Ferrari. And that's their story. They're looking for someone who matches that story. Point number three, when you sell, whether for a job position that you're being hired for, or you're selling products as an entrepreneur, services as a freelancer or a consultant, you are beaming out a signal to the people who are telling themselves a similar story to yours. Your job is to find those people, tell the right story that matches their story, and then get them to agree on the price. Get as close to those people as possible. If your products are not selling at the level you want them to sell at, then something in that equation is not right. Keep working on it and get it right, and the game group will help you out with that. And point number four, what about those people who are put off by your prices? Well, remember the Mari Povich show? If you never saw it, go look it up on YouTube. If you are put off by the price of a product or service is too high, you just are pissed off that it costs so much, you think it's overpriced, you think the person's to bring their price down, understand something. You are not the father. All right. You failed the paternity test. This is not your kid. You are not supposed to be buying this product. I'm not talking to you. I was not marketing to you. I'm not trying to match my story to yours. You need to go to the smart car dealership. This is the Ferrari dealership. Understand that everything is not for everybody. Everybody is not for everything. You want to change the results of your sales. All you got to do is change the story and change who you're telling the story to. You're probably telling your story to the wrong people. That's why they're complaining about the price. Get out of Walmart and go to Whole Foods. Now, what's going on in the game group? In the game group, we know discipline, strategy to results. Any of you who wants to sell more products, and maybe you just want to start selling products, so you just want to get better at selling yourself, which I think everybody could always get better at selling themselves. So the better you sell yourself, the more times in life you get what you want. You get your way. It doesn't have to involve money. We do this in the game group. We talk about the mindsets around sales. Of course, on this podcast, we talk many times your mindset around money and around price and around pissing people off or turning people away who feel like your price is a little bit too high for them. Good. There should be people who feel like your price is too high for them. If nobody thinks your price is too high, your prices are too low. How many times have I said that here on the show? And figuring out what to charge, why to charge it, when to charge it, where to charge it, and to whom to charge. Because you don't want everybody buying your stuff. Like, not every customer is worth the money that they spend. In the game group forum, you can ask me any question about your business, your sales process, any challenge that you're having. You can ask me that in the game group forum. I will answer it in detail. Maybe I'll give you a podcast episode. Maybe I'll record audio for you. Maybe make a video. Maybe put out a written article. Maybe I'll just answer it right there in the forum for you. But any question that you ask, no matter how detailed, no matter how complex, no matter how specific to your personal situation, will be addressed in detail in the game group forum. So if you want to ask me questions about anything you've ever heard on this podcast, we're going deep into all this stuff with roadmaps. Not only what it is, because on these podcasts, I'm always telling you, here's what it is, here's why it is, but how do you actually put this into work for yourself based on your particular situation? That's what we do there in the game group. Get all the information on the group at dreallday.com/game group. Work on your game, dreallday.com. You just listened to an entire episode of my podcast. If you've been getting value from this podcast, the 1,000+ episodes that I've been putting out, or this is just your first one, please go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review of my show. It helps me out. It helps the audience out so they know what kind of show this is before they listen to it, if they want to kind of get a taste for it before they commit to listening. And it lets me know that I'm giving value to you every single day on this podcast. So anywhere you can leave a review, please go leave a review. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. I'll see you in tomorrow's episode. Work on your game.